Good to have you in the service. Great having kids in our service? Always. And they're going to have a little bit of their own fun because apparently I'm too deep and meaningful for them. Something like that. I doubt that actually, but anyway. You know, I'm just going to stand up for a moment because I want to read the same scripture that we're talking about. Engage for impact. Say it with me. Engage for impact. And Mark 16, verse 15, if we could pop that up on the screen, Conrad. We're going to read verse 3 to verse 18 together again. So let's speak this out with me. You've been standing for a while. You can stay seated. And he said to them, say it with me. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Next verse. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And he said to them, it starts off, and he said to you, Jesus said to you, and I want to talk more about this today, that, you know, you have all the life you need the moment that you accept Jesus into your world. The life of Christ can go out from you. And so we're going to talk about engaging for impact this morning. And to start off this morning, and this will lighten the atmosphere a little bit, which is probably cool considering our morning so far. Why don't we're going to go to the YouTube, and this will start my message this morning.
You're an embarrassment to nature, you know that?
All right. I want to ask you this morning, what are you holding on to in life that is holding you back from the life that Jesus wants you to live? And my desire is that all of us maximize our impact. And there's stuff that we can hold on to that actually isn't much good for us. And so I want us to continue, as I started last week, in engaging for impact and talk about having a resistance about us that is, when we do have impact, or when there's things that go wrong in our world, that we actually do not get crushed, but we can actually persevere and get through because of what Christ is in our life. And so I want to recap a little bit this morning, because mission is into. Say it with me. Mission is into. We've got the screen. I think the PowerPoint should be there. Thanks. You know, it's a great memory verse. And he said to them, what does it say? And he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And so it's not just a matter of being with Jesus. It is rather what Jesus in us makes us become. And who you are will determine what you get into. The N.T. Wright said this: the mission of God is too important to leave to missionaries. And fulfilling our commission to go into is not achieved through natural means alone, but through our faith in God. You know, there's a great story in the Old Testament about Moses leading the people. And he was leading them into the promised land. And into Canaan was the area, the territory that they were going into. And he sent 12 scouts. And those 12 scouts were the leaders of those nations, the 12 tribes of Israel. And they went into that land, and they were told to check out what the land was like. Was it good? Is it going to be a good place to live? What are the people like? What are the resources like? And so they went out. And the largest cluster of grapes ever recorded in mankind was brought back. It was too heavy for one person to carry. Actually, they put it on a pole between two men. And there was this huge... And they said, you know, this land is indeed an incredible land. But there's giants in this land. Also, you know, it looks pretty hard to beat these people. In fact, we're like grasshoppers in their sight, the Bible says. And you know, what I want to get into our hearts today is that we can get caught up in the life we're living rather than the life that God has planned for us. And we who have been around a little while and know our Bible just even a little bit, and even if you don't, we know that if God says he's going to give you a good land, he's going to do it. But the issue is that often we're all a bit like this. We see all the challenges and we think it's too difficult. Am I right? And so Joshua and Caleb were the only two men that actually said, you know what, we can do this. We can take this land. They had faith that what God said would come to pass. And in Numbers 14:8, there's a really significant little verse that says, Joshua says this to the people: if the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us. Now, Joshua used his words carefully. He said, if. Say it with me. If. If the Lord delights in us. See, we have leverage when we're engaged for impact. Joshua was front-footed. He was saying, I'm going to go where the Lord wants us to go, and I'm going to believe all the natural things. I'm going to believe that all the things in my life that don't seem to be adding up in the natural, all the areas in my life that I can see those giants, I certainly can, but I'm not allowing those giants to defeat me. My God is for me, and this is a good land that God wants to lead me to. In fact, it's a great land. It's flowing with milk and honey. I hope you like my little illustration there. It's a great land. And so we have leverage when we're engaged. But we've got to engage with God. And moving in the life He has given us, the life within us, creates avenues for change in the life we are living. It's not that we have to change the life that we are living so much. It's about actually allowing God into our life so that there can be a great impact. And Joshua defeated the giants whilst many Israelites didn't get to the promised land. It's unfortunate. But I don't know about you, but I want to make the promised land. Is anyone with me this morning? And so God wants to bring your heat level up so that you are more useful to Him. Because whilst there was two that said, yeah, we can take them, there was 10 that were a bit cold. And 2 Timothy 1:9, I'll restate this scripture from last week as well. It's important. Who has saved us? Jesus has saved us and called us with a holy calling. Not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Jesus hasn't called us to simply do good works. Our good works don't save us. Being useful according to His purpose and grace, that's impact. And so we can't be that useful in our own power. You can be good at a number of things, and I'm sure we all are. All of us here would have great strengths. But we're of no use until we engage with our God who gives us purpose for the things that He has called us to be. And so we are separated from the rest of the world for His purposes. And the origination or the origin of salvation was for His own purpose, flowing from His own goodness, the greatest impact. And so this morning, I want to go back to where we started with that video clip of what you're holding on to. And there's that little critter. I don't know what you call him. But he's holding it for dear life. See, the point I want to make this morning is we can have resistance into His life. And most people live two lives. The life we are living and the unlived life within us. And what will often carry us along in the life we are living is resistance. Jesus is about to bring the Great Commission, which is what we've been talking about, the verse I opened with this morning, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, and you shall be able to set others free. Who like more of that in their life? And this is, you know, what the Word of God says. He appeared to the 11 disciples as they were eating together. He rebuked them for their unbelief, their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen Him after He had risen. Pretty strong language. Their stubborn refusal to believe. And Jesus rebuked their hardness of heart. They didn't believe that He had risen from the dead. He talked about it. He'd been with His disciples the whole time. And I don't think we can be too hard on the disciples. I think, you know, we go through life and we see such a tragedy as what Jesus went through, we'd probably be going, my goodness, didn't expect that. But isn't this the crux of the matter in our own lives? That we think things are dead, but in actual fact, with the help of the life of God in us, they come alive. And so I want us to engage for impact. Turn to your neighbor and say, engage this morning. See, He's alive. Say it with me. He's alive. Who really believes it? He's alive. Just a few people. He's alive. He's alive. Amen? He's what? Alive. And yet, there's this story. On the road to Emmaus, two of the disciples are walking along, And they're having a conversation with one another. Well, we didn't expect that to happen. You know, what was that all about? We thought Jesus was going to be with us for a lot longer than what he was. And their heads are down and they're getting quite disheartened and probably even a little bit depressed about life. And then Jesus comes alongside and he listens to their conversation. But they don't see him for who he really is because they're still living in the life that is before them rather than engaging for impact through the life they have in him and what he's left behind. We have a decision to make. If we're going to live the life that God wants us to live, the life in Christ, or live our own life and forget to engage altogether. And just at the last moment, they invite him in because they're having a good conversation. Who'd like to have a nice conversation with Jesus? And they invite him in and he has supper, and then they realize that was actually Jesus. And their lives are transformed, their heart is engaged, they're on fire. They can't wait to talk to the other disciples. We can be more on fire. We can have something inside of us that's burning, engaged for impact. And yet there's this side of us where we're living the life that we're living and we can forget what God has put inside of us. We all do it, don't we? We all have this in about us. But I think we can get less of the life that we're living in and allow God to engage more often. Can we do that this morning? At least engage and say, God, you know what? I'm going to engage more. Help me to hear your voice. And see, there's resistance, there's hardness, and there's unbelief. There's three key things. And so many people are living thereabouts when it comes to the mission of God. But they are not totally on mission because of their unbelief about what God can do in them and through them and for them. And it's a resistance that may not always be evident, but they are going against the God-given potential inside of them. And we can live a life, living the unlived life within us, or we can live the opposite. So what stands in the gap between these two things? This is how resistance will manifest in us. Procrastination. Fear. Rationalization. And self-sabotage. And Paul says in Romans, you might ask, who has resisted God's will? And often a lack of acceptance of what God can do in you. There may be a new business opportunity. It may be writing a new song. It may be a different job that God has for you. It may be actually just doing the job that you're in, but doing it with more purpose because of Christ in you. It may be letting your friends know who you really are. Could be hospitality, serving in the house of God. You may find it difficult to give to God. These are all areas where we actually can have resistance to what God has for us. It's called unbelief. The Bible calls it unbelief. Instead of resisting, instead of rationalizing, instead of living with your fears, break out. Let's break out. Break out of the norm. Come with the opposite spirit. If you're stingy, let's be generous. Only my wife's saying yes. If you're stingy, let's be generous. Who thinks that's a good thing? No one likes a stingy person. They wrote a whole film about it. The Grinch. You know, if Jesus says it, love your enemies. What? Go in the opposite spirit. Come on. I've been to Liberia with Susan, you know, and I don't know how they do it, but they don't have any angst against all the people and all the wrong fighting, and some of them are living next door to each other. They've decided to move on. And yet we worry because we've got first world problems. It's a coffee cold. Now, I know that's a pretty major problem in my household, but but it's not really a problem, is it? My goodness, most of the world don't have a vehicle. Are we going to get into all that God's got for us so that we can make a difference in this world? And your expertise is a great help to other people. And you may see yourself as someone in the back. No, you are as important as the next person. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're as important as anyone. That's how God sees you, right? Isn't that how God sees you? You're as important as anyone. And you can write stuff off, you know, like God's got a plan for you. You might have even had a word from Greg French a couple of weeks ago about what God's going to do for you. You know, I couldn't do that. I couldn't possibly be that. Well, you know what? Why don't we just have a crack? Why don't we just have a go a little bit and say, Lord, well, I'm actually open to what you want to do in my life. You see, if you really take this scripture, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, then I don't know how you can't just open up just a little even. And so it's better to have a crack than never know. Most people, when they go, you know, they're getting close to the end of their life, they wish they'd taken more risks. God desires for each and every one of us to make an impact. And when Jesus brought the Great Commission, he was talking about the impact his disciples would be making, engaging in the unlived life within them. They're walking along the road. Oh, they've forgotten that Jesus is actually with them. Jesus is with you. Jesus is with you. He's with you. And he wants and he's willing us on. Go out and make an impact. Go out. We're starting to see signs of this. I'm getting excited. I can't help myself. You know, our young people have done a fantastic job. We've had more numbers the last few weeks in our youth than we've ever had for a long time. It's going into the schools. And there's so much excitement and momentum that we're looking at going into another school as time goes on. You see, it's about engaging with the unlived life that's within us so that God can rise. The nation is going to hell without you and I. And we have the answers. And so this Easter time, will you invite someone to come to church? And say, you know what? I'm going to be brave and say, please come. Please come. Will you? You know, it could be the one moment that changes their life forever. They will, this is you. You will cast out demons in my name. You will speak with new languages. You will handle snakes no problems, even venomous ones. You'll drink poisons and it will have no effect. How can all this be possible? Why did Jesus say it? Because the life within us, if we engage with it, there's nothing that we can't be in him. Who'd like their faith to rise a little today? So it's time to get unstuck and from the mundane, boring old 9 to 5 or whatever hours you work. Same old, got to go to work to pay the bills. You got to do more than that. You got to do much more than that. You got to go to work because you're going to have an impact on someone while you're at work. There's this life inside of you, church. And God wants us to not live just the life that we need to live, but live the unlived life within us. And so there's a PowerPoint I want to show you on this. I will invite a friend to my Easter services. Thanks, Conrad. Good man. I will invite a friend to my life group. I will invite a friend for dinner. That's not that hard. I will serve my best in the local church. I will write in my journal. Who remembers their journal? Let's write in our journal some good news, some deliberate acts of kindness, and talk about those in our life groups. I will accept my co-mission. It's my mission with Jesus, and I will engage for impact. I am going to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. If they look half human, I can preach to them. God's given me the ability. Will we fill in the gap today, church, between the life you are living and the life Jesus would have you to lead? You know, I love this definition from the Oxford Dictionary and some people would ask me to repeat it, so I'm going to say it again. Just one of the physical perspectives of resistance is this: failing to conduct electricity or heat. Failing to conduct electricity or heat. Now, I don't know about you, but I reckon that if there's a little bit of a spark in us at all about Jesus in our life, even if it's really, really kind of tainted by the world right now or other things in our life, if there's just even a little spark, just a bit, you know it's enough, because God wants to fan that into flame. He wants to fan into flame the gift that is in you. Don't worry about what all the gifts are. Just worry about that Jesus is in you and he wants you to engage for impact. So fulfilling our commission is to go into. Say it with me, go into. Can't do that through natural means. And that's why the 10, and these are leaders, the 10 leaders back in Joshua's day. Yeah, it's good land. Look at the fruit, fantastic. Really good. But there's giants. I bet you there's not one person in this room that doesn't have a challenge in their life, right? We've all got challenges in our life. Does that stop us from living the life that Jesus would have us to live? Come on. You sure? No, yes? Which one? Lucky we're friends, Avita, anyway. We all want to live the life within us, yes? Come on. Whether you received Christ 5 minutes ago or you've known him for a long time, let's spark the flame within us. You know, some of the men in my old Connect group, my friend rang me. Out of the blue, haven't seen him for years, must be 3 or 4 years. Real estate man, made a squillion, lots of money, I'm guessing. He drives a Porsche. I'm guessing that means he's got some money. You know, he rang me out of the blue this week, and we connected last night at my place. And, you know, it was like we hadn't disengaged. He goes, oh, wow, your family, wow, this. You know, there's something about the life of God. Come on. There's something about bringing up your kids in the house of God. Yes, we all go through stages, but hang in there. If you're a young person, just keep coming. Just stay with it, because you get over all that other stuff. Yeah, it all gets sorted out. I had, you know, more hormones than probably any man. You know, it all works out. But just stay put with Christ, because the life within us through the house of God will transform you into the person that God wants you to be. A man of purpose, a woman of destiny. Don't give up. So let's finish this morning. Engage for impact. Let's pop that up again. Yeah, come on. Yeah, go to the other one. I like the other one better. No. Yeah. Come on, let's say it together. I can lay hands on people and they will recover. I can pray and set people free from demons. I can drink poison with no effect. I can take on serpents. I can speak in new tongues. The question is, what are you holding on to in the life you are living, which will be the death of you? Remember the little fella? What are you holding on to? There's things in our life that God wants to set you free from. Come on. Let's be the bigger man, the bigger woman today and engage for the purposes of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's good? Oh, yes, He is. And so, get into the vision of God for your life. Get into serving regularly. It'll help you do life better. It'll give you purpose. You can have a look at, go to the information desk, and you can get information on where to serve in our church if you're not serving presently. You know, get into prayer and reading your Bible. Now, I know some of you travel a long way to come to church, and we're grateful, aren't we, church? We love our people, whoever they are. If you can't make our prayer meeting, but if you are around the area, come on Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. But otherwise, at least spend some time praying to your Lord so that you can have maximum impact with others in your world. Don't underestimate what God's doing in your life. Out of the blue, a phone call that I believe is going to be the start of a new engagement with the life that He hasn't got quite yet, but He's getting there. Get into your community, wherever you are. Wherever you live, you can talk to your neighbour. Don't be a grump. Don't, you know, if a branch is over your side, don't go and tell them off. Be nice. I'm talking from experience. Be nice. It works out much better. I know the other way. Let's be nice. Let's allow that goodness within us to rise so that others can have the life that we have. Is that good? So, Father, today, I pray that we will enjoy your life. I thank you, Lord, that we are extraordinary people through what you have given us. I thank you for the life within me, and I engage today for maximum impact. The people of God said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day. We finished early. High fives. All right. See ya. See you in the cafe. If you'd like prayer, I'll stay, hang around. I'd love to pray with you if you need some healing.